1 Samuel chapter 8, starting in verse 1. When Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, "Behold, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them." And now down in verse 19. But the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "No, but there shall be a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." And when Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey their voice and make them a king." Samuel then said to the men of Israel, "Go, every man to his city."
From 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 13 through 20. Yet the Lord warned Israel and Judah by every prophet and every seer, saying, "Turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes in accordance with all the law that I commanded your fathers and that I sent to you by my servants, the prophets." But they would not listen, but were stubborn as their fathers had been, who did not believe in the Lord their God. They despised all his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and the warnings that he gave them. They went after false idols and became false, and they followed the nations that were around them concerning whom the Lord had commanded them that they should not do like them. And they abandoned all the commandments of the Lord their God and made for themselves metal images of two calves, and they made an Asherah and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal, and they burned their sons and their daughters as offerings, and used divination and omens, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. None was left but the tribe of Judah only. Judah also did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the customs that Israel had introduced. And the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel, and afflicted them, and gave them into the hand of plunderers until he had cast them out of his sight. Chapter 22, beginning at verse 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan, the secretary, came to the king and reported to the king, "Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord." Then Shaphan the secretary told the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes.
The elders approached Samuel with a committed statement, "Give us a king." Why? Because they wanted to be like everyone else. All the people around them, all the different nations around them, had a king. They wanted a king. Samuel was concerned. He prayed to God. And God said, "Give them a king. It's not you that they're being disobedient to. It's me. I'm their king. They don't want me as their king. They want an earthly king." And so it happened. Saul became the first king. Saul rejected God to the point God said he was so sorry that he ever made Saul king. Now this started several hundreds of years of reign, if you want to call it that, by various different kings. Some of these kings walked in the sight of the Lord. Many of them did not. Many of them were destructive. You see, remember what Bill read there, all the things that they did, turning away from God? They wanted to be like everyone else. And in some ways, they got their wishes. It ends up with their land being taken over, their people being made captive, their kingdom divided into two, and yet it continued on with various different kings, some reigning for 50-some years, some 40. We often hear about King David, and we hear about King Solomon. Each of those men reigned 40 years. We hear about King David, and he was said to be, what, a man after God's own heart. And we know about King Solomon asked for wisdom. And King Solomon was instrumental in getting the temple built in Jerusalem and the palace built. But we also know about kings like Manasseh, who reigned for 52 years. And I believe it mentions that during his reign, there was enough bloodshed that covered Jerusalem from end to end, the blood of innocent people. So this was the ups and downs of being reigned by kings. Life as they knew it was destroyed. The book of the covenant, the law of Moses was lost. It ended up in the temple after it had been plundered and partially destroyed, and it was lost for a number of years. The book of law, the book where they got their commands on how they were to conduct their lives. Now the good kings, many of them, said walked in the ways of the Lord, but yet oftentimes they couldn't have known all the commandments and all the things. It would have been almost impossible because this book would have been lost for a long time. And so then there is a king comes along. Name was Josiah. Now, we often know about Josiah from just the fact that he became king when he was 8 years old. 8 years old, and I believe he reigned for 31 years as king. And he was a good king, and he tried to do things right. He tried to take away some of the evilness that was there. He went about trying to restore the temple. having it rebuilt, he brought in the best carpenters and craftsmen that he could find to rebuild the temple. And while they were there, they found what? The book. They found the book. And it says that when Josiah, when it was brought to him by Shaphan, it was brought to him, and it said, and Bill read this, the book of law, and he opened it, and when it was read, when he heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Now, he didn't tear his clothes because he was angry, did he? He didn't tear his clothes because he thought, who's bringing me this and what is this? He tore his clothes because he realized what bad shape as a people, supposedly God's people, they were in. As far as obeying the laws, understanding, reading them, listening to them, day in and day out, and he tore his clothes. And then he made all the people come together, and they read this book to them. He stood by our pillar, and he read to all the leaders, and all the people came up, and he read the book of law to them, so that they too could understand. And then he set about restoring. He set about making changes. He set about trying to do the right things according to the law, to the book. I wish we could all sit here and say, you know, it lasted. You know, from there on it was good, but it wasn't. You know, we know that in 586, Jerusalem fell, temple was destroyed. But the thing that I would like for us to understand is that we too can learn from these things. I'd like to make just maybe four or five brief points that I could share with you that maybe we can apply ourselves to our own lives, to my life, maybe to your life. I think one thing that we need to think about is sometimes we need to be careful what we ask for. You know, we need to be cautious on the things that we ask for because have we examined what we're asking for? Have we thought it through? Do we understand what we're asking for? The elders came to Samuel and said, we want a king, just like everyone else, that would reign over us and would fight our battles for us. Sometimes we too, in the Lord's church, in our own lives, we need to be careful what we ask for. A second point, we don't have to be like everyone else. We wanted a king, just like everyone else. We don't have to be like everyone else. We don't want to be like everyone else. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 tells us that we are what? King James Version says we are a peculiar people. You know, doesn't mean an odd people. It means that, you know, we have certain special things that we have as God's children. And we're supposed to act like we are God's children. If we're going to enjoy those things, we need to act like God's children in many ways. How we conduct ourselves, perhaps how we dress, words we say, how we do or don't take appropriate actions and behaviors at times. So we don't have to be like everyone else. In fact, we don't want to be like everyone else. A third point, it takes a tender heart and a humble spirit to turn from wrong to right. Let's go back to Josiah a minute. In 2 Kings chapter 23, in verse 25. Now before him, there was no king like him. who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. This is the king. He had a tender heart, humble spirit, and he turned. He went about seeking to do what was right. And turning from evil, he tore his clothes because he was so distraught over their disobedience. I find it interesting. Before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, his soul, and with his might. All those before him. We're talking about King Solomon. We're talking about King David. We're talking about all the other kings. There was none. There was no king like him who turned to the Lord. The fifth thing, or fourth thing, let's be careful that we don't allow disobedience to the Lord become so common that we start to accept it as not being disobedient, but right. These people had lived in the only way they knew to live, and that was through disobedience, through worship of Baal, making golden calves, building altars on the high places, sacrificing their children, destruction, fighting among themselves, even to the point that they eventually become a divided kingdom. So because of all these things that, you know, they didn't know anything much different in many cases, but they did after the book was opened. If we neglect God, we too will get to the point where we don't know what God says to us. You know, if we fail to read our Bibles, if we fail to meditate and to contemplate on the Bible and on its teachings, we will get to a point, if we're not careful, where we don't know what is being taught. We don't know what the Bible says about various things. Just coming to church alone is not enough. If we get up on Sunday morning and we search around and we find our Bible and we pick up our Bible and we come to church and then after church we get home and put our Bible up, I'm afraid some of us do that. Most of us, including myself, are not studying near enough. But there's a lesson there for us. Take heed, lest we fall. We have to pay attention. We have to study. Yeah. When he went about purging and reforming the temple and the practices of the people, Josiah did a lot of things to search the heart and to search the mind and the souls of himself and the people in order to try to change that behavior. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, that's what we get to if we study, and if we're in our Bible classes, and if we're reading our Bible and we're studying. We want to get to where we can rightly divide the word of truth. So, some thoughts. What happened to God's people when they wanted to do it their way? They wanted a king, and they got kings. They got kings. They weren't disobedient to Samuel or to men. They were disobedient to God. So when we're disobedient, we're not disobedient so much to each other, we're disobedient to God. So let's think about some of those things. I know there's lessons in there for me and perhaps maybe for all of us that where we can kind of focus. And I would encourage you, if you ever get an opportunity, to just sit down and read 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and 1 Kings and 2 Kings. Don't take the place of your daily Bible reading, but read those books and read what horrific, horrific things happen simply because of disobedience. If we can help you in any way tonight, if we can assist you with baptism, or if we can pray with you or for you in any way, John's going to lead us in an invitation song, and please come forward if we can help you.